go to Toy Store this holiday season and you might notice something. A pink aisle filled with princess stuff for girls and a blue aisle with cars and superhero type toys for boys. The surprise, research shows toys today are more divided by gender than they were in the 1960s.
While you might try your hardest to find gender neutral toys, even companies like Lego, which once touted itself as a toy meant to spark creativity in boys and girls alike, is coming out with products geared toward either boys or girls specifically.
Elizabeth Sweet is with us now. She's a postdoctoral scholar at the University of California, Davis. She recently wrote an article for The Atlantic about the topic. Elizabeth, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
So when people go toy shopping for their kids today, how divided by gender are toys now compared with, say, the last several decades?
Well, today they're certainly divided by gender. So if you go in the toy store, you know, when I go in my local Target, I notice that there are four aisles that are, you know, just pink with pink backdrop, and four aisles that are blue and one aisle that's yellow with pink and blue toys in the middle of it. And if you go online, oftentimes you have to select either boy or girl, which, you know, select who you're shopping for. And this is really certainly different than what I observe over my research looking at toy ads over the 20th century. In none of the time periods that I look at did the percentage of toys that were gendered either explicitly, and by that I mean toy ads that said, you know, this toy is for girls or this toy is for boys, or ads that were gendered more implicitly through use of color or gender stereotyped roles, at no point did that exceed 51%. So for the majority, in all but one time period I looked at, the majority of toys were non-gendered. And so certainly, you know, I think it would be a real challenge to find even, you know, a small minority of toys that are non-gendered today.
Now, you looked at decades of toy marketing, and as you might expect, the 20s through the 60s were rather divided along lines of boys' toys and girls' toys. Mm-hmm. Back then, what did that divide look like?
Back then, looking at the toys that were marketed to girls, they tended to be dolls and domestic toys, and they really reinforced this idea of feminine domesticity, that girls were drawn towards, you know, caretaking and keeping home, and that they found it really pleasurable and enjoyable. So the ad that that ran with the Atlantic piece says, you know, mothers, here's a toy your little girl will like. Every little girl loves to sweep, mop, and keep house. And I had to laugh when I read that. And on the flip side, for boys, toys that really emphasize kind of skill development and preparation for roles in the industrial economy. So in both cases, those roles really replicated the adult roles, the real adult roles that men and women were filling during the time.
Right, so nurturing toys, housekeeping toys for girls, and more skill building for boys.
Right.
And then let's fast forward a bit and to the 70s, for example, and you sort of paint that as a golden age of non-gender toys. So what changed in the 70s?
When I look at the toy ads from 1975, what I see, first of all, is just fewer ads that were gendered. And in the 1920s and 1940s, when ads were gendered, it tended to be done explicitly. That is, the ad would say, you know, every boy wants this building set, or every girl loves this kind of doll. But however, in the 1970s, less than 2% of ads had that kind of explicit gender coding. So it was a significant drop, not just in the percentage of toys that were gendered, but also in the way that toys were gendered. So gender cues became much more subtle when they were evident. But in addition, there was this real change in that ads sometimes really defied gender stereotypes. So prior to the 1970s in the catalogs that I looked at, there were no images of boys shown in the kitchen or playing with domestic toys. And there were no images of girls fulfilling occupational roles like doctor. So if there was a doctor and nurse kit in the 1960s and in the 1940s, it distinguished, it was the same kit, but it distinguished how a child would play with it based on their gender. So boys would be a doctor and they would play in this way, and girls would be a nurse and they would play in this way. But by 1975, the doctor nurse kit ad shows two girls playing together. So what's important there isn't gender so much as, you know, the different occupation.
So the big question there is what happens in the 70s that allows for that shift to happen? Is that feminism at work?
Well, yeah, that's certainly a big part of it, I think. I mean, there had been so many social changes that had happened between, 1965 and 1975. But even moving from 1945, I mean, in 1945 on, we start to see more women entering the labor force. We start to see changes in the family. And we start to see, you know, in the 70s and beyond, more men doing more in the home and family. So I think that paired with the real cultural shift, you know, kind of cultural upheaval that came with the second wave feminist movement, and a fundamental challenge during that time to the idea that men and women and boys and girls are fundamentally different, and that difference, you know, is what creates inequality. So I think that idea was challenged in a very fundamental way in the 1970s. And as a result, you see a lot more openness to the idea that boys and girls could play in the same ways with the same kinds of toys.
And then you fast forward again to 2014, where you say toys are more gender divided than they've ever been before. So why did the pendulum swing so far back in the other direction?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a kind of a complicated story on one hand, and sort of the most simple explanation is an economic story in that, you know, there were real changes in the economy between the 1970s and 1990s in terms of production, but also in terms of the focus on consumption and fueling the consumer economy and stimulating consumption. And increasingly during this period, marketers targeted children directly. And in the 1980s, the deregulation of children's television program, they gave them a very nice avenue to do that by allowing them to make whole TV shows around a toy. So by 1985, all of the top 10 toys had TV shows associated with them. And those shows and the toys that they sold were often developed along gender lines. So things became more gendered, I think, during that period. But also, I think underneath that there's a cultural story in that. I think the beliefs about gender that had been really challenged in the 1970s began to kind of move back towards this idea of gender difference as an explanation for inequality. And while I find, looking at public opinion polls, that the level of sort of broad support for the idea of gender equality was stable over time, I do see some evidence that this belief in gender difference as sort of rooted in biology and the explanation for inequality grew in the last two decades of the century.
You write about the book Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus as influencing the way we think about gender in a very real way. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about here, those sorts of ideas that men and women are just different? So naturally, girls are going to gravitate toward this kind of toy and boys another kind.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and I think, you know, just when I observe any discussion on this topic, that's always, you know, the challenge that comes. And it's, you know, I hear it from so many people. I used to believe that boys and girls were the same, but then I had a child and, you know, he's all boy or she's all girl. And I think the thing that's difficult about this is that it's really hard to disentangle what's cultural and what's biological. But the scientific evidence suggests that there's so much more variation among girls and among boys than there are categorical differences between them. So they do find some small, very small biological or seemingly biological differences among young infants. But what they find at later ages, a neuroscientist named Lise Elliott wrote a great book called Pink Brain, Blue Brain, where she argues that, you know, what's happening is those small differences get magnified through culture.
Do you think that the second rise of gendered toys could just simply be what consumers want? You know, is this marketing department saying, you know, we're not really here to advance a social agenda. We're here to sell toys, and this is how people want to buy toys.
Well, I don't find evidence for that in my research. So I did look for public opinion polls, trying to tease out, what were people thinking during this time. And I did find a poll in 1997, a Washington Post, Harvard poll that asked people, you know, whether they thought boys and girls should have the same kinds of toys and activities. And, you know, 2/3 of people agreed with that. So I don't find evidence that people are just clamoring for more gender-distinguished toys. However, I don't think they were, I don't think they were necessarily repelled by them either. And so I think that's often the claim is that, well, if this wasn't successful, if it wasn't what people wanted, they wouldn't continue to make it. But I think it's also had kind of a self-reinforcing life cycle. So as toys became more gendered, kids began to see the world sort of more along these gender lines, and now it's very entrenched, and so it's sort of hard for people to think outside of it. And of course, the people who are, you know, among the younger cohorts of parents today were raised with toys that were already more gendered.
Well, we're talking right now with Elizabeth Sweet about why she says toys today are more divided by gender than they were 50 years ago.
And we want to hear from you. Is this something you've noticed as you've strolled the aisles of your local toy store? Do you have a little boy or girl who prefers to play with toys that aren't necessarily marketed toward them? How do you feel about the gendering of toys today? Let us know at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're talking with Elizabeth Sweet, who says toys today are more divided by gender than they were in the 1960s. And we want to hear from you on this. Is this something that you've thought about as you buy toys for the kids in your own life? Do you feel as though it's your place to insist on gender-neutral toys, or are you okay buying what the kid wants? And if your child wants the pink or the blue, that's just what you get them. And how difficult is it to chart a different course when you have children? Let us know at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. And we'll take our first caller now. We've got Corey joining us from Green Bay. Hi, Corey.
Hey. Hope you can hear me okay.
Yep, you're coming through loud and clear. What do you think?
I think it's a neat topic. I still have to do some Christmas shopping, and I certainly noticed the difference in the toys that I have to buy. I have one boy and two girls, and I just wanted to ask your guest if I guess there is a difference. You certainly see the difference in toys that you can buy, but is that okay? Does she feel that's okay as long as one is not marketed as superior than the other? As long as people don't have the misconception that a boy toy is more superior versus the toys that girls would get. And I can hang up and listen from there, but thanks for taking my call.
Okay, thanks a lot, Corey. What I hear Corey asking is, you know, if a girl wants the princess stuff and a boy wants the superhero stuff, is there anything inherently wrong with that as long as a society we're not saying one is better than the other?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really great question, and I think there's kind of a misconception, and oftentimes I think in discussions of gendered toys, the pink toys, you know, I think a lot of people have kind of problematized the pink toys for good reason. However, I mean, there's nothing inherently wrong with either set of toys, and in fact, if you think about the kind of toys that you often find in the pink aisle, the toys that teach nurturing and, you know, that allow kids to role play housekeeping, I mean, those are important things that all adults do at some point in their lives. So for kids to be able to role play this and model that is really important. So I actually don't think there's a problem with any particular toy. I think the problem is telling children that toy is not for you. That toy is for, you know, children of the other gender. So, or this toy is for you because you're a girl, or this toy is for you because you're a boy. So I think it's the limitation by gender and not the particular toys themselves. In fact, I think children should have really a wide variety of toys that allow them to really explore their own interests and explore the diversity of kinds of things available to them.
Feminists, though, in particular, have worried in the past when it comes to the, you know, the pink toy aisle that these are dolls sometimes, certainly not all the time, but sometimes dolls whose sole function is to be pretty and that they're not active enough or self-actualizing enough. So is there any danger there that you see?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the if I do find that the focus on beauty has grown, it grows in the last few decades in my data. And I think the emphasis on toys, even, you know, just anecdotally going into the toy aisle, and when I look at the craft kits, so many of them are about creating beauty products or fashion items. So I do think that that is problematic. I think the danger in the pink aisle is that almost all of the toys there affirm that a girl's primary worth comes from her appearance and her ability to have a relationship with others, and not, you know, that she has intrinsic qualities within herself. So I do think that that's problematic, especially when it's the only message that girls are given.
Okay, well, thank you for that call. We're going to go next to Angela in Madison. Hi, Angela.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, my nephew, this last Halloween, he's 2 years old, and he wanted to go as a princess, and his mom called and asked me what I thought of that, and I said, let him go. You know, if he wants to dress like that every day, let him go. Children need to explore different options. We're forcing the male and the female concept on our kids. I have a little one. I have a little girl, and it really made me consider, how am I going to present toys to her? How am I going to allow my family to present toys to her? I don't want her forced into a gender role. I wasn't forced into a gender role. My mom let me explore science. She let me explore math. I had builder sets and Legos, and I loved them, and they were great. And I just think it's really important to let children have options. Why are we forcing them?
Angela, do you find it tough to walk that line?
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, I've had so many opportunities in my life, and I really think it started by my Lego set. My Lego set was awesome. My Lincoln Logs were awesome. I played with dolls, too, and my brother played with dolls, and we played trucks, and, you know, we're both very balanced individuals.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your thoughts, Angela. And Elizabeth, do you think if a parent is like Angela and they want not to force, you know, any sort of particular gender mold onto a child or encourage them in any direction, are the toys available if someone wants to choose like Angela's choosing?
Yeah, and good for you, Angela. I think you have a great perspective on this. I think it is becoming increasingly difficult for people to choose, that the offerings are becoming more and more narrow. And I think that one of the things that Angela's comment brings up for me is how particularly hard it is for young boys who have, you know, who want to try on the princess dress or who like pink or who, you know, want to play with dolls. I think that the social sanctions that boys experience for kind of crossing those gender boundaries can be very, very severe, to the point where, you know, we have a lot of instances of boys being, you know, bullied even to the point of committing suicide for having interest in sort of stereotypically feminine things. So I think that, you know, and I think that ties in with societal, you know, ongoing societal homophobia. I think that one of the dangers of this increasingly narrow range of offerings is that it's much harder to find things that are kind of available to kids, regardless of gender.
And a comment from one of our callers who she said more girl toys now are focused on appearance than before. You mentioned this a little bit, but they're not some of those early gender divided toys were more about nurturing, caring for other people, and now maybe they're more appearance focused. Do you see that as well?
I do. You know, and I think just sort of observationally over the past few decades, if you look at, you know, if you look at the kinds of dolls, I mean, we think about Barbie. A lot of people complain about Barbie as being this kind of hypersexualized doll. And certainly when Barbie came on the scene in 1959, she was pretty radical. But when you look at the dolls today, you know, Barbie seems very tame compared to the Monster High dolls or the Bratz dolls that are, you know, quite sexual in their appearance and their clothing. So, I think, you know, if you look at the dolls, you can see that shift. But also, as I said, you know, if you look at craft kits or science kits, you know, when science kits are gendered, it's almost always spa science or perfume science or, you know, make your own cosmetics aimed at girls. And that, again, is just wholly centered on appearance.
Well, Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
We've been talking with Elizabeth Sweet. She wrote about gender toys for The Atlantic. Leaving the last word now with Judith on Facebook, who says, my six-year-old daughter is all about Star Wars right now. Movies, books, Legos, toys, action figures. Yes, the boys at school tell her Star Wars is for boys. Recently in the toy aisle at the store when she was looking over Star Wars, an older boy said to her, those are for boys. Poor kid. Both my husband and I snapped back with, there's no such thing as a toy for boys or girls. Word there from Judith as we talk about gender toys.